Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back to the Swamp, my friends. Today we have some truly interesting stories sent in by viewers just like you. These viewers claim that they have ran into some creepy, unknown creatures known as cryptids. Now some of these stories really freaked me out tonight, and I think they're going to freak you out as well. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit your experience at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. Now, without further hesitation, let's get into these stories that'll freak you out tonight. You will have to forgive me if this encounter seems rather brief, but it happened when I was only 7 years old, so naturally, some details may be lost. Anyway, back when I was 7, I can explicitly remember encountering things that most would call me crazy for, if I were to even talk about them now. What makes my encounter unique is that it happened 10 miles away from any forest in Huntington Beach, California, one of the biggest urban centers in the country. Back when I was young, I liked looking out of my mom's car window due to the fact that I was bored, like most kids. But on 3 occasions I can quite vividly remember seeing people in cars that didn't have faces. I would rub my eyes to make sure I wasn't seeing things, but regardless of the number of times I would look away, that same entity would still be there, looking right at me. Even though it had no eyes to look at me with, I could somehow tell it was staring right at me. It also seemed mad that I could see it, like me knowing it was there upset it. Obviously, since I was a small child, seeing this, I was frightened and would look away as quickly as I could, hoping it wouldn't see me. The fourth and final encounter was when I was 9, and this one is the clearest memory of them all. I remember walking with my mother in the Huntington Beach Public Library. It was a very beautiful sunny day and a cool 72 degrees. As we walked, an athletic-looking woman with blue skin-tight workout pants and a purple tank top appeared to be in the distance. Honestly, she was kinda cute going by the standards I hold today. I didn't notice anything weird at first, but when she got within 10 yards, I realized she had no face whatsoever, which made her much less cute in my book. It was like fabric stretched over a softball. It's the only description that I can think of that makes sense. It was as blank as a sheet of paper. My eyes widened in fear, and I could tell she was looking at me just like the rest, but this time, she was going to pass right by me. Her head tracked me as I walked past, but the emotion I got from her wasn't anger. She seemed baffled that I could even see her, like she couldn't believe a human could look through her disguise. What made this encounter more strange than the others, though, was that there were tons of people around for this. Yet not a single person seemed to even be mildly disturbed that a person with no face was walking in the park. I honestly don't believe they could even see her for what she was. Otherwise, they would have had the same reaction, right? Regardless, that is bar none the strangest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Fortunately for me, once I turned 9, I never saw them again. I think when I was young, I looked through a veil most people couldn't see, and maybe that's what happened. The idea that these things blend perfectly into society is truly scary. I have heard stories of things being much more malicious in the past. Stay safe, everyone. It's a scary world we live in. Now that my dad has passed, I feel free to tell the stories that he, his dad, and his brother told us as kids about the strange encounters they had in Florida. My grandma and grandpa owned land near the Myakka River. They bought it in the 1940s with plans of building a cottage there. They wanted to retire eventually on that land in the 1970s. But when my dad and his brothers were kids in Detroit, that land was the vacation camping and fishing spot. Sometime in the 1950s, my grandpa built a fishing cabin and storage shed on the property. My dad said that they would go down there and stay for a week at a time, and even longer in the summer. The way he tells it, when he was 15, his dad came back to the cabin one morning and told the kids that they were not to go near the marsh on the other side of the pond. As a matter of fact, they could no longer fish or play in the pond unless he was with them. This kind of made my dad mad, because he and his brother, Rex, spent most of their days pulling fish from that pond. There was no way in hell that they were not going to go blowfish and gig there. One night, while their dad was asleep, they snuck out with their frog gigs and fishing arrows to hunt fish at the pond. They used old-school Coleman lanterns to attract the huge garpike and bullfrog to the shallows, along with a ton of bugs. The light from the lantern allowed them to only see about 10 feet around them. As they stalked the shore, they had heard movement off in the dark in the high weeds. Their first thought was deer. Later years, I guess the property started getting wild pigs. But this was no pig. It was being cautious. Quiet. They soon started looking behind them, and looking into the water. They were getting spooked by the footstep sounds in those dang weeds, just out of sight. Then, as they were getting jumpy, a splash sound in the dark water silenced all the sounds of the night around the pond. First thought, gator? But then, the sound turned to distinctive sound of slow, sloshing of two legs in the shallow water just in front of them. Then, they got eyeshine. Two red eyes about 7 feet off the ground just behind a sideways growing tree on the bank. Was it something in the tree or behind it? Maybe a coon or crane? Then, they looked at it. It ducked, lowering its body as if it was trying to hide. Without thinking, my dad fired his arrow into the tree, forgetting his fishing bolt was connected by a line to his bow. That's when the eyes half barked, half snorted at them and stood up. As they lost sight of the red eyes, the sound of crashing weeds and booming footsteps rushed off into the darkness to their right. Depending on if it was my dad or Uncle Rex telling the story, one of the boys screamed and started running back to the woods and back to the cabin where the others were. I guess they had woken my grandpa with the noise, and he met them outside with a flashlight near their station wagon. He was mad, but he also seemed scared. "What the heck is going on?" he yelled. "We saw something by the pond," Rex said. My dad then lied and said it was a gator. Rex looked at him and said, "No, it was standing up." "We don't know what it is," my dad said. My grandpa then asked how tall it was. Was it taller than me? My dad was shocked at the question. Why would his dad ask how tall it was? Then grandma came out and told us to get to the cabin. And then she yelled at my grandpa and told him, I told you that you should have told them. Told us what? Rex asked. Their dad shushed their mom and they all went inside and tried to get some sleep. The next day at the start of the long drive back up north, my dad and uncle were shocked that they were not in trouble. My grandpa was always nice to me, but I guess he could be a hard ass to his own kids. When the rest of the car was napping, my grandpa told the boys why he did not want them near the pond alone. Turns out, he himself had seen something. Something that shocked him to the core. He was not sure what it was, but he didn't know how to deal with it just yet. My dad and his little brother did not know what to think either. That was 1952. The first time they met their new neighbor. From then on until the land was sold in 1980, my grandpa, my dad, and my uncles, and my aunt all have stories. Two of my brothers had encountered them in the 1970s. Being the youngest, I thought it was all boogeyman stuff, campfire stories growing up. That was until the summer of 1976. That was the year I found out for myself just how creepy our vacation cottage really was. But I have more stories to tell before I tell you that one. Keep an eye out here in the swamp for future true stories that have happened to our property for over 30 years. I would like to share an encounter that I had with a supposed Sasquatch. I never actually heard of them at the time, but 7 years ago in the Appalachian mountain range of Pennsylvania, me and some friends were visiting for an outdoor adventure. I was backpacking with my friends, and we always carry guns for self-defense against bears. Anyway, I was fishing in a nearby pond, and I heard these loud footsteps about 60 yards north of me. I began to put my left hand on my sidearm, as my fishing pole was in my right. There was this clearing right outside of the woods where the sound was coming from. Right between the trees, I see this large brown creature. I had no idea what it was. It came out into the clearing walking like a man. The face looked primitive as it stood there about 2 feet taller than me, 8 feet tall and about probably 800 pounds. I don't think it actually saw me, as it was headed east of me. It ended up somewhere in the woods and it stopped walking. The next thing I know, I hear some kind of chattering which lasted for about 5 minutes. It almost sounded like somebody was chattering their teeth, if that makes sense. Then, after, I heard footsteps going in one direction and another set of footsteps going in a different direction. I never saw it again, but I asked my friends if they heard the sounds, and they said yes, so we packed up and left, and never returned. If anybody has any idea if this was a Sasquatch or something else, I'd love to know in the comments. I'm from Michigan, way out in the middle of nowhere. To be honest, I'm not sure what I saw, and I'm not sure if I'm safe in the woods near my house anymore. I'm a very outdoorsy person, but I'm not so sure after this. Odd things have always happened here, but this was definitely the strangest. There's an old tree in the woods next to my house that has just enough room in the branches to sit in, which I spend a lot of free time reading. Much like any other morning, I was out reading for a while before heading to work. I looked up from my page to look for the pileated woodpecker that was making the tree vibrate, and spotted a dog, which wasn't out of the blue. Plenty of dogs show up at my house. But this dog seemed off. There was nothing visibly wrong at first, until I realized I was looking at this dog from over 400 yards away, and I could see every detail of this dog perfectly, which was kind of alarming on its own. Then this creature stood up on its hind legs, and I can't even lie, I almost peed myself. So I stayed there, attached to this tree like I'm a Velcro strip, hyperventilating so loud I'm sure this thing could hear me. I watched it roam around the perimeter of mine and off into the neighbor's woods for what felt like forever, which I'm sure was only a few minutes at most. Until it got back down on 4 feet and ran off at an ungodly speed towards the drainage ditches. It cleared 3 acres in less than 60 seconds. That's crazy. So I can only guess that on its hind legs it had to reach at least 7 feet tall. The next day, my neighbor, a road over, complained about claw marks down the side of his barn. This may not sound scary to some, but it was absolutely terrifying to me, as I've spent almost my entire life outside. Those I've discussed this with have said it sounds like a Michigan dogman. But to be honest, I'm not sure I want to believe something like that would ever be right in our backyard. I have other stories, but this is my only outdoor experience. Thank you for sharing my story, Swamp Dweller. This story takes place sometime around 1989 at my grandmother's house. It was almost June and I had gone to my great-grandma's farm again for the summer. The farm had been in the family for over 100 years and had about 150 acres. Every year, when I would go stay with my grandparents, my grandpa would always tell me that a goblin lived under the house and that it would come and steal animals or eggs. As far back as I can remember, my grandmother would put out a roasted chicken and two hard-boiled eggs on a tray by an odd-shaped hole leading under the house. And sure thing, it would all be gone in the morning. Even though I was younger at that point, I always thought my grandparents were telling me tall tales, and they were out just giving food to a fox or something. One night I had left some stuff out in the barn, so I finished everything Grandma had set for me to do. So I went to the barn to clean up. As I stepped out the door to the house and started toward the barn, I came by the odd hole under the house. I had an old 1970s flashlight, and I happened to shine it into the hole where my grandma had put the food, and there it was, hunched over the tray. Short, brownish green with droopy long ears. It was eating the food Grandma had left out, not paying attention to me whatsoever. I turned off the flashlight and hid behind the outhouse that was still on the property. After a little while, the thing stood up and started to look around, making groans and all sorts of strange noises. Not paying attention, I started backing up, and I backed right into it. The electric fence. I let out a scream, causing the thing to turn around and look right at me. So I ran as fast as I could back into the front door. This little ugly beast was right on my feet, though. Luckily, I was able to get in the house without a scratch. After that, I never went outside after dark at my grandma's house. And oddly enough, I 100% believe in goblins under the house now.
So it's the summer of 2013. I'm 21 and just finished my junior year in college. The second week of August, a group of friends and I go on an 8-day camping trip. There are 7 of us in total. 4 guys and 3 girls. We're camping in a semi-remote campground in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. It was a large campground, but very few other campers were there. There were a few filled sites near the front of the campground, but we purposely requested a site off in the back corner. We were completely by ourselves. During the trip, we planned a whitewater rafting trip for one of the days. We were hiking Mount Washington towards the end of the trip and thought maybe we'd do 1 or 2 other small hikes with 1 or 2 days of just chilling by the lake at the campground. We also planned on doing plenty of drinking during the events. The first couple of days of the trip were fantastic. White water rafting was a blast. Everything is going great. So, it's the evening of the 3rd day. We have a roaring fire going. We're all just hanging out at the campsite, drinking and messing around. It was around 9:30 when a disheveled looking man walks past our site. His clothes are kind of torn or worn out. Messy, tangled hair, etc. He looks maybe in his mid-40s. This isn't weird, though. We all just think it's another camper doing a late evening stroll around the campground. About 1.5 hours later, we see this same man walk past our site, in the same direction. This time, he is walking slower, almost with a bit of a limp. We're all pretty drunk at this point. I think one of us might have yelled something out to him, but he ignores us and keeps walking. Mildly strange, but still is probably just someone who wanted to take a long walk. We wrap up the night around 1:30, 2. The fire is dying down, and we head back to our tents. I usually love sleeping while camping. I usually find it extremely peaceful. But for some reason, I was having trouble sleeping this night. I get up to take a piss in the woods, and when I do, I see a faint light, maybe about 50, 75 yards ahead of me in the woods. It looks like a dim flashlight, or something similar. I decide I want to investigate. I go back to the tent. One of my other buddies is still awake, so I tell him about it. We get up to investigate, and when we do, the light is no longer on. Feeling a little unnerved, I shine my flashlight around the woods a bit, but don't see anything. So I decide maybe my eyes were playing tricks on me before, and I head back to bed. Sometime later that night, I wake up to a terrifying scream. It was Sarah, one of the girls we were camping with. I jump out of my tent as quickly as possible and nearly run into her as she's running back into our sight. She screams that there was a man standing in the middle of the woods. Now our whole party is awake and freaking the heck out. I try to calm Sarah down enough to get her to explain what actually happened. She says she went to pee in the woods and saw the man from earlier, just standing about 15 feet from her, not moving, like a statue. We're all freaking out, yelling, screaming, making a giant commotion. I'm internally freaking out too, but try to calm everyone down enough so that we can actually do something. We obviously decide to get the fuck out of there. We frantically take down our tents, basically just ripping the poles out and throwing everything into the back of our cars. Then we sped out of there. It was around 4 a.m. We're in two separate cars and decide to drive away from the campsite and try to clear our heads. Eventually, around 5:30, we find a small diner that's open and decide to head in for some breakfast. We all have different theories about what the hell just happened. Some of us think we just ran into some homeless guy who was camping out in the woods and was surprised by us. Some of the girls think maybe he was purposefully stalking us. Either way, obviously, none of us are comfortable staying in that campground again. I head back to the front desk of the campground with two of the other guys. We explain what happened, and the guy at the front desk actually seemed to believe us, but said there were definitely no other campers currently that fit the description of the guy. They were insanely nice about it though, and actually refunded most of the remainder of our stay, which astonished me. As a group, we decided that, fuck it. We weren't letting one freaky guy ruin our trip. We find another campground a good way away to stay in. Fast forward 2 days. We're hiking Mount Washington. We get up early and get to the mountain around 7:30 to start hiking up. We're a little over halfway up the mountain when we see the very same guy hiking down. Though this time, he looks much better. His hair isn't crazy. His hiking clothes are relatively clean. We're all just frozen. A few of us let out a surprised scream. He just strolls past us with a massive grin. Luckily, there are enough hikers nearby that nothing could really happen. We decide to continue hiking up anyway, since he is headed in the opposite direction, and hope we just never encounter him again. We did finish the hike, and luckily, didn't see him. After that, we decided to cut the trip a couple of days short. Looking back on it, we've all come to the conclusion we were definitely being stalked in some way. If it was just some homeless guy in the woods near the campground, what the hell is he doing hiking down Mount Washington a couple of days later? It was a pretty unnerving and bizarre experience for sure.
This story didn't personally happen to me, but rather my uncle when he was a kid, maybe around 14 or 15 years old. My uncle was a type of kid who people would refer to as a bad kid, and he was, as he did, some drugs and drank at a young age. One day, my uncle and his friends decided to go to a rural spot in the woods just north of East Georgia, miles from my uncle's house. They lit a fire and drank till they were completely wasted. They chose this spot as they knew they would not get in trouble if they were to get caught by someone if they did this somewhere else. At one point, the fire was starting to die down, and everyone was just kind of talking to each other, when all of a sudden they stopped talking, as if a switch had been turned off. One of my uncle's friends in his drunken state said, "Shh, do you guys hear that?" My uncle and the rest of his friends laughed it off as they were still drunk, but then became very quiet when they heard what sounded like branches snapping just a little bit beyond the tree line. They all stared at the trees trying to find the source of the noises. That's when one of the girls screamed at the top of her lungs and pointed from behind a tree. My uncles and his friend looked that way, and according to my uncle, he saw a huge silhouette maybe 8 or 9 feet tall, hiding behind a big tree. My uncle told everyone to run. They all got into their cars and floored it down towards the main road, not caring how drunk they were. My uncle said that he saw what he could only describe as pure terror in the rearview mirror of the truck. There was a very tall and very big gorilla-like creature staring at them as they drove away. Until this day, my uncle is convinced that what he saw that night was, or is something similar, to a Sasquatch.
I apologize for its length, but I needed to tell this since no one believes me. This summer, I had several encounters with mysterious creatures, some really terrifying. This past summer, I worked at a Boy Scout camp, and there had been rumors of spirits patrolling the nature trail on the far side of the camp. One night after work, me and two other co-workers, Steve and Jim, decided to walk the trail at midnight. We were about halfway through the trail when Jim told us to stop, and we listened. It sounded like something was gnawing on bones and tearing flesh. We shone our flashlights to see the remains of a deer, but the ribcage was torn open, almost flattened. The deer's entrails were scattered across the forest floor, and the skull was crushed, and we could still hear the noises. Steve told us that we should get the fuck out of here, but we pressed on deeper into the forest. Suddenly, Jim stopped in front of us, and I asked him what's up, and he just pointed his light forward. About 20 yards away, we saw this thing. It crouched with its back behind us, tearing into what we believed was a piece of the deer. It stopped and slowly rose, standing almost 10 feet, and it dropped whatever it was eating and turned around. Its face was nothing but a skull, but no human skull. It looked like a deer skull. Its arms were long and lanky, ending in large claws. Jim screamed, "Holy fuck!" as we began to run. The creature let out a horrifying screech, and I made the mistake of turning around. The beast went on all fours and charged at us, breaking smaller trees and stumps as it ran at us. We continued to run as we got off the trail and stopped as we got into the pool building. As we collected ourselves again, I could hear something outside. When I looked outside, this creature was standing under a light post, breathing slowly. It destroyed the light above it with one swipe of its clawed hands, before disappearing back into the darkness. The next encounter was a couple of days later, when it was me and two other lifeguards, Colin and Maya. They were sitting in the office as a thunderstorm ravaged the camp. We watched the rain when a flash of lightning showed us something standing on the other side of the pool fence. Maya shrieked as the beast disappeared, where it looked like it walked towards the lake. I followed the beast into the pouring rain, where I unfortunately lost it. The next morning, we found that the geese that lived near the lake were torn to shreds. And it took us an hour to clean up the entire mess. The next encounter was the next to last week of camp. And this was honestly the most terrifying experience. It was a Wednesday night, and I traveled the nature trail alone. And then I heard it. Something was laughing at me. And it sounded like it was close to me. I turned and saw the biggest creature I ever saw. It stood about 10 feet and had a deer skull for a head with massive, bloody antlers. It began to trace me as I ran the trail. I could hear that the brush behind me was crushed, and the beast was breathing heavily. It felt like hours, but it was only a few minutes till I figured I lost it. After I stopped to catch my breath, I could feel my backpack being torn, and when I turned, I saw it. I then locked myself in the pool office, and I was terrified when I heard it ram the door. When it stopped, I could hear someone's voice, and through the crack, I could see it skulk around the building, and I never saw it again that night. The final encounter was the last. It was during the last week when, each night, I saw the creature lumber through the parking lot. It looked like it had something in its grasp as it tore into it. I ran back to my campsite, and as I laid in my sleeping bag, I heard footsteps trudging through the campsite. When I looked up, I saw its blood-covered snout poke its head through the tent flaps. Its red eyes casted an eerie glow inside the tent, and I could hear it breathe, and what I thought was laughter. Each night, it returned and stuck its head in various tents, until one staff member woke up and screamed. The next day we couldn't find him, and spent the day looking for him, until we found him in the parking lot. He looked pale, and told us that it grabbed him and took him to the old BB range. And when it left, he ran. That night, me and three other people took flashlights and went to explore the range. It was decrepit, and vines grew all over it. And then we saw them. Several carcasses of deer strewn about the place in various stages of decay, and they appeared to be partially consumed. One guard screamed as the Wendigo rose from behind the rock wall in front of the range and charged at us. We ran back to the science building, and we watched as it came out in the light. This one had blue eyes and was extremely thin, and it had three long fingers, ending in claws, and it scraped the ground and sniffed the air until it slowly returned to the forest. That was the last encounter I had, though I plan on returning to find it again.
Thanks for listening to these creepy and downright unexplainable creature encounters. If you have an encounter you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that really do help these shows keep going. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button, as it does help me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video. You can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and pretty much everywhere else you listen to podcasts. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. Recently, I've been uploading a little less, and I do apologize for that. I have posted on the community tab of my channel a reason exactly why I've been slowing down, so if you're interested in that, go check that out. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.